As all of you know, I was in Eretz Yisrael last week, and of course we're in the midst of what we refer to as a Melchemes Mitzvah. And I used it as an opportunity for myself just to think about what exactly are we fighting for? What is it that the Melchama is all about? So of course, the Melchama is all about the mitzvah of trying to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. Of course, we're also, besides for that very noble objective, we're also trying to protect every Jew that is in danger. But Begadol, the reason why we're fighting for Eretz Yisrael is because we have a mitzvah to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what I wanted to spend a few minutes about this evening. The Pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar, V'horashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. So V'horashtem es ha'aretz means you are going to conquer the land. V'yishavtem ba means then you are going to live in the land. You're going to settle in that land. Says the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban writes very clearly, very explicitly, that this Pasuk is not leaving anything for our imagination. The Pasuk is very explicit that we have a mitzvah not only to conquer the land, but also to live in the land. And that, says the Ramban, is Nitztavinu Lareshes Es Ha'aretz Asher Nasan Hakel Yis'ala Lavoseinu. We have to conquer the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to our forefathers. V'lona Azvena B'yadzu Laseinu Min Ha'unumos O L'Shemama. You're not allowed to give it over to any other nation of the world. Or, says the Ramban, let's say nobody's inhabiting the land. And nobody's living there. But I'm not interested in living there either. I just want it to be Lishmama. It's just going to stay a desolate, barren land. Says the Ramban, that is also problematic. Our mitzvah of the Horashtem is not only to conquer, but also to inhabit and to build up the land of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ramban, V'zui shachachamim koronosa melchemes mitzvah. And this is the definition of what a melchemes mitzvah is all about. V'al tistabesh v'tomar, and don't make a mistake and say, Ki ha mitzvah hazu hi bezayin amim in levad shenemar hachareim tachareimim. Don't think that this mitzvah is only when you have one of the seven nations of the land that are going to be there. That is not the case, because he says this is a mitzvah that applies whether you're dealing with Zayin Amimin or you're dealing with any other nation who is inhabiting the land of Eretz Yisrael. Your mitzvah is one that you should take it over and you should then move in and build up the land. And therefore, says the Ramban, Mitzvah hanoheges ledoros. This is not something that was only said for the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua ben Nun. This is a mitzvah hanoheges ledoros, because even if you have any other nation of the world who is living there, we still have the same mitzvah, and therefore he says that would be something that would be relevant to all subsequent generations as well. It is very famously noted.
Isn't that why he tried to go?
What?
Isn't that why he tried to go as well?
Of course, the Ramban tried to go as well. He ended up going. And the Ramban describes what happened when he came to Yerushalayim, and how few Jews there were that were inhabiting the land. Anyway, so that's what the Ramban says. Very interestingly, the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, when he classifies and categorizes each of the 613 mitzvos, the Rambam, for some reason, does not count this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And that is very curious. That is very strange. Does it mean to say that the Rambam believes that there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? How can that be? Maybe that is what he says, but how can that be? So the Megillas Esther, who is one of the very important commentaries on the side of the Rambam, says, why is it that the Rambam leaves it out? Lefi shemitzvas Yerushas Haaretz v'yishivasa, the mitzvah of conquering the land and then inhabiting the land, lo naga rak bizman Moshe v'Yoshua v'David. That was only a mitzvah then, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, and David HaMelech, v'chol zman shelo galu me'artzam. All the time that the Jewish people were concentrated in Eretz Yisrael, that is when they had a mitzvah to not only live in the land, but also to make sure to protect its boundaries, fight the Melchemes Mitzvah, and that's it. However, Aval Acher Shegalu Me'al Admasam, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly sent them out of Eretz Yisrael, sent them into exile, after that, says the Megillas Esther, Ein Mitzvah Zu Noheges L'Doros Ad Bo HaMashiach. Then this mitzvah is irrelevant until Mashiach will come, and then it will become clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish people to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll figure out how to fight Melchemes Mitzvah if we need to do so. But until that time, the Rambam believes that it's not a mitzvah that is relevant today. And therefore, the Rambam does not count it. Because in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam only includes mitzvos that are noheg ledoros, mitzvos that are relevant for all generations. So this is the very famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. And there are many, many who try to give a position to explain why it is that the Rambam leaves out the mitzvah. As we mentioned, one explanation is that of the Megillas Esther, who says it is just not counted because it is not a mitzvah today. So that is very, very perplexing. That is very surprising. But that is the opinion of some of the Gedolei Achronim in explaining the Rambam. The Trumas Hadeshen, who is the father of Ashkenazic Jewry, writes in his Sefer. Now, it's very interesting. The Trumas Hadeshen is officially a Sefer of Shalos Tshuvos. Normally, when you have a Sefer of Shalos Tshuvos, it becomes somebody sent a question, and then there was a response that was sent as a reaction to that question. But the Trumas Hadeshen made up his own questions that he thought were extremely relevant issues, and he wrote it in the style of a Shalos Tshuvos Sefer, even though nobody really sent him those questions. So the Trumas Hadeshen writes the following, Dalacha, you should know, Devadai Shevach Gedola Umayla Yesh Loder Be'eretz Yisrael V'kol Shekein B'Yushalayim. Of course, Shevach Gedola means you're very praiseworthy if you live in Eretz Yisrael, and especially if you live in Yerushalayim. Amnam, Shamanu Kama Pa'amim. I've heard from many people, Sheyesh L'sham L'shem B'nei Bris Ma'arvim Nachshavim L'Rasham Gedolim U'Mosrim Mufursamim. I've heard that the Arabs, not the Arabs in particular, but those from the Middle Eastern countries who live there, he says, I've heard that they are Rishayim Gedolim. I don't live there, but he says, that's the word that I'm getting, that they are Rishayim Gedolim, and they are Mosrim Mufursamim, which means that they lock people up in jail, and they take hostages, and they do all kinds of things that we see today. V'heim tardim u'mevalbalim ha'ashkenazim sheheim shomrei toro mitzvos. Lachein kol ish yishar b'nafsho be'eza derech yuchal lama b'yiras Hashem. So going to Eretz Yisrael is obviously a shevach gadol. It's a beautiful thing to do, says the Trumas Hadeshen. But you have to weigh whether it's the best thing for your avodas Hashem or not. And that is the same thing that I tell people when they come and ask me about Aliyah today. Making Aliyah is something that I hope every Jew has an aspiration to do. It's where we all belong. But the question then becomes, is it the best thing for my Avodas Hashem? Now, for many people, the answer is, of course it's the best thing for your Avodas Hashem, to live in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to living here. For some people, the answer to that is, not at all. Maybe the chinuch of my children is going to be better here. Maybe the community structure that we have here is better, and I'm going to be affiliated with a shul, with a community that I'm not going to have in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't fit in there, or whatever the reason is. But if I really believe that my Avodas Hashem is going to be better in Chutz La'aretz, then that is a legitimate reason not to be living currently in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be very honest with yourself and really answer that question truthfully, but that's a legitimate excuse. That's a legitimate answer. So says the Trumas Hadeshen, I'm thinking now, I think I made a mistake. The Trumas Hadeshen writes, I'm going to read his Lashon again. B'nei bris me'arvayim nechshavim l'rishayim gedolim u'mosrim u'fursamim. I don't know if he means the Arabs or if he means Jews who are just not nice to the other Jews, because he says, therefore, the Ashkenazim shouldn't go. So I don't know exactly what he's referring to, but he says there are obviously problems in Eretz Yisrael in the time when he lived, and he said that it's not the best thing for everyone's Avodas Hashem, and therefore, if it's better for you to be here, you should be here. How did I find this Trumas Hadeshen? Because it's quoted in the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes this, and he says, it seems clear that the Trumas Hadeshen understands that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Just he says, although there's a mitzvah, it's not at the expense of everything. It doesn't overcome every other factor. And therefore he says, although there is a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael, that would not overcome the factor of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is the most important thing. And if that is what's going to be damaged by going to Eretz Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, then that's not an option that you should take into consideration. You should stay in Chutz La'aretz. The Avnei Nezer has a very different interpretation in the Rambam, and he says, you cannot say that the Rambam doesn't believe that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How can that be? That's unconscionable to say such a thing. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, the Rambam has rules and regulations of exactly how he counts mitzvahs. Which mitzvah is in the count of 613, and which mitzvah is going to be left out. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Rambam counts a mitzvah called Hacharem Tacharimim. What does that mean? That mitzvah is, you need to destroy all the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. You have to get rid of all the nations of the world that live there. So, says the Avnei Nezer, isn't this subsumed under that general category of Hacharem Tacharimem? Of course, the reason why you're supposed to destroy all of their Avodah Zarah, the reason why you're supposed to get rid of them is because you're supposed to be there. So therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, maybe that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't count this as a separate mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as we generally refer to it, because it's obviously subsumed under something else. There's a very shocking position of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen sounds like a contemporary, but he is actually one of the Balei Atosas quoted in Maseches Ksubos Daf Kuf Yud. So Rabbi Chaim Cohen writes the following, and he says something which is very hard to understand. He says, we have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I asked Rabbi Chaim Cohen, why doesn't anybody live there? Where do Balei HaTosas live? France and Germany, all kinds of Provence. They live in all kinds of different communities outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, you could say the answer is because it was too dangerous to go to Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Chaim Cohen doesn't say that. Even though the Ramban describes how dangerous it was for him to go, and it really wasn't simple at all. Rabbi Chaim Cohen says, I have to figure out how do we justify why none of the great Rishonim who live in my generation actually live in Eretz Yisrael. What are we doing here? Why are we in all these European countries? Explains Rabbi Chaim Cohen. The truth is, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. People wrote to me this week that they went to Eretz Yisrael and they were picking fruits and vegetables, helping out the farmers, and then they said, what do we do about trumas and maisers? Somebody actually wrote to me an amazing shaila, which was, if I'm not going to take any of the fruits or vegetables, I'm just going to give them to the farmer. So I'm now violating Lifnei Iver, because the farmer is not religious. He's not going to separate Chumas and Maisers. And I'm helping to facilitate him not to do the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chumas and Maisers. Am I allowed to even help him pick at all? Very interesting shaila. Maybe that's for another time. But Rav Chaim Cohen writes, the truth is, there are many mitzvahs hataluyas ba'aretz when you come to Eretz Yisrael. There's Chumas and Maisers and Chala and Arla and Bikurim and all the different things that are relevant only in Eretz Yisrael that maybe most people are not familiar with. And he says, Kasha l'kaimam. It's very hard to observe all of these mitzvahs properly. Shemitah and Yovel and everything. It's too hard. Va'on sham chamurim. And we know that if someone doesn't do Trumas and Maisers properly, they're going to be punished. And therefore, he says, it's a trade-off that you make. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to do all the mitzvahs atalias baretz, and you're probably going to make a big mistake. And therefore, he says, it's a better option to live in Chutz La'aretz than to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, that is a pella. That is a pella. Keeping Shabbos is very difficult. We have Lamates Avos Melachos. If we would keep it at just the Lamates Avos Melachos, we'd probably be okay. But then when you look in the Mishneh Berurah and you see every Sifkatan and every Chumar of every one of the Achronim, and you try to figure out, have I ever actually kept Shabbos properly in my life? So maybe the option is, according to Rav Chaim Cohen, you know what? Let's just not keep Shabbos. Let's make Shabbos Sunday, and then we don't have to worry about all these problems. If I keep Shabbos, then I'm going to have to get involved in the issue. If I don't keep Shabbos at all, then I won't make a mistake. Well, what do you mean? You have a chiyuv to keep Shabbos. So the mitzvah is to go to Eretz Yisrael, and when you're there, you're supposed to keep and observe all the mitzvahs of the least bards properly. So what are you going to say? The reason why you don't live in Eretz Yisrael is because you're too afraid maybe I'm going to make a mistake? What kind of excuse is that? So that's very, very hard to really understand what that means. And then how are you going to explain what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Then we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, and then what? It's not going to be hard to do the mitzvahs of the least bards. Everyone's going to figure out how to do it overnight. We're not going to have any complications then. So this opinion of Rav Chaim Cohen is a very, very troubling, very surprising one, but a very interesting one nonetheless. So Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses this issue in a tshuva as well. I guess he's wondering why he didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, in the beginning stages of his life, he was a Rav in Russia, in a community in Luban. If you want to know a little bit about his tenure as being the rabbi in Luban, you can read in the beginning, in the Hakdama, the introduction to Chelek Ches of the Igros Moshe, which is published posthumously. They collected some of the Ksavim of Rav Moshe that were not printed Bechayav. So the grandchildren wrote an introduction in the beginning of that Sefer about some of the stories of his life. And one of the stories that they quote there, or two of the stories, are from accounts that he gave over of his time in Luban. Very, very interesting story. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. When he records the story about two people in his shul who had a dream about the Maraglim or something, or the Benos Lot. You've heard these stories? Fascinating stories, for another time. I guess we'll have to have many, many other shiurim to talk about all these things. But that's a very interesting story to look into if you have a chance. Anyway, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva to try to figure out why is it that if we paskin like the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even Bizman Azeh, post Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun and David HaMelech, then why is it that all the great leaders of his generation didn't live in Eretz Yisrael? Of course, you had the Chazon Ish live there, a couple, but most of the people were living in Chutz La'aretz, and the question Rav Moshe raises is, why? And Rav Moshe gets into a discussion, which is a very interesting one, and he says, we have different categories of mitzvahs. Normally, we think of a mitzvah as something that I absolutely have an obligation to do. There's no wiggle room for me to say, I can do it if I want, I don't have to do it if I don't want to. Either something is a mitzvah or an aveira. You can't say, if I want to speak Lashon Hara, it's up to me. It's not up to you. If you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to get punished. If I don't shake Lulav, also going to get punished. Those are mitzvahs, which means you have a commandment. That's the definition of a mitzvah. And the Achronim come up with some suggestion of a new concept, which is what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis, which means maybe there's some kind of middle ground. There are certain mitzvahs that I have an obligation to do, certain others that I have an obligation to make sure I don't do, but there are certain things that are somewhere in the middle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, this is a nice idea. If you do it, you'll get reward. If you don't do it, you won't be punished because it's not an obligation. My father likes to say, it's somewhat of a contradiction in terms, because mitzvah means you are mitzuveh to do something, you are commanded. So how can you tell me I have a mitzvah that is only what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis? That if I do it, I get schar, then it's not an obligation, then it's not a commandment. It's just a suggestion. So why would we refer to it as a mitzvah? But there is such a suggestion like that. You mentioned tzitzis, which is an interesting story. That's an interesting story, but there's a different example that they give. The Vilna Gaon gave the example of eating matzah all the days of Pesach. When do I have an obligation to eat matzah? The Torah says, Ba'erev tochlu matzahs, first night of Pesach. So, do I have an obligation to eat matzah the rest of Pesach?
No.
Now, I have to have a suda every meal of Yom Tov, and the only way to have a suda is with matzah. But technically, if I had another way to get around that problem, I'd be able to do that. Do I have any reason to eat matzah on the days of Chol HaMoed?
No.
No. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis, because the Torah says, Ba'erev tochlu matzos, which means the mitzvah is to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. The Torah also says, Shivas yamim tochlu matzos. So which one is it? Is it 7 days? Is it 1 day? The answer says, the Vilna Gaon is, the first night you have an obligation to eat matzah. The rest of Pesach you have what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis, which means, if I eat matzah, I get extra schar. If I don't eat matzah, I won't be punished, because I don't have an obligation to do it. It's just a nice thing to do. So if you choose to do a nice thing, you get reward. If you choose not to do a nice thing, you won't be punished. That's a mitzvah kiyumis. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, maybe the reason why many people do not live in Eretz Yisrael today is because they feel that the whole obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael is only what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis, which means if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get schar, you get a lot of schar, you're mosa nefesh for doing that. If you don't, you won't be punished. That's what Rav Moshe suggests, which is a very, very novel, interesting suggestion. But that's what he says. Now, the truth is, the Rambam writes a very interesting comment. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where he talks a lot about what is going to be in the days of Mashiach, and the Rambam is in Hilchos Melachim because one of the first jobs of a Melech Yisrael, of a Jewish king, is he's going to have sovereignty over the Jewish people, over the land of Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to fight the wars of the Jewish people as well. So it's called Hilchos Melachim Umilchamosehem. That's what the Rambam's chapter is called. It's all about the job of a king, how he's supposed to lead, and how he's supposed to wage war. So the Rambam writes in Perakid Aleph, HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamod Ulahachzir Malchus Beis David UbeEmes, I'm sorry, Liyoshna LeMemshel Rishona Ubona HaMikdash U'Mekabes Sincha Yisrael. The Rambam says that part of the job of the Melech HaMashiach is to bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, which means the Rambam understood that many of the Jews are not going to be living there, and the job of the Melech Yisrael is to bring the Jewish people back and have them living once again in Eretz Yisrael. That's the way the Rambam understands the reality, which seems to be the reality that we have today as well. So that's what is in terms of that. However, there's another interesting wrinkle to this whole discussion, and that is a Gemara in Maseches Tzubas, which was made famous by the Satmar Rav. So everybody thinks the Satmar Rav is the one who started this. It's not true. The Satmar Rav is just reading a Gemara. And the truth is, when you read the Gemara, the Satmar Rav seems to be what exactly the Gemara says. So people say the Satmar Rav is a big kanoi. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But with this issue, the Satmar Rav seems to be just reading the Gemara and translating it and telling us exactly what Chazal say. So you have to figure out why the Satmar Rav might not be the only way to read the Gemara. But the Satmar Rav is reading the Gemara based on exactly what the Gemara says. So let's see. Says the Gemara, Maseches Ksubas, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the very end of the Masechta, commenting on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made three different shavuos, three different promises, three different oaths with the Jewish people. Hishbati eschem enos Yerushalayim. And it says it over and over again. Now, what are the three shavuos that are referred to there in the psukim in Shir HaShirim? Says the Gemara as follows. One of them is Shalo Yalu Bachoma. The Jewish people made a promise that they are not going to come. When you talk about a wall means power. A wall means something is strong. Right? We just spoke about a fence that was ripped down. That was not strong. But normally a wall means it's strong. When you have a house with walls, means people can't break in. So when it says, Shalo Yalu, theoretically, of course, yes. When it says, Shalo Yalu Bachoma, means the Jewish people are not going to converge onto Eretz Yisrael like a choma, like a wall. Means they're not going to go and take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's the first Shvua that the Gemara describes. What are the other two? Okay, it doesn't matter. Those are not relevant for our discussion now, but the first one seems to be very explicit that it means that we shouldn't take it over. Says Rashi, in explaining that Gemara, what exactly is the nature of this promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made together with us? Rashi says that we're not going to go b'choma yacha b'yad chazaka, that we are not going to come with strength and take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's the way Rashi understands it. The Shita Mekubetzes there writes, shelo yalo kulam yacha b'chazka. We're not going to have all the Jewish people coming from Arba Kanfos Eretz and converging onto the land of Eretz Yisrael and taking it over. Okay. Now, what do you see from Rashi? It seems, number one, that if I as an individual want to move to Eretz Yisrael, let's say I'm living in the days of the Ramban, and I want to go to Eretz Yisrael by myself because I love the land of Eretz Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this is the land of our forefathers, this is where I know I belong, for me to go alone is not a problem. The shvuah that we made is that we're not going to come en masse to make a mass aliyah and take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. That seems to be what the shvuah is. Number two, it seems that the shvuah was that we are not going to go converge and take it over on our own. But what if somebody gives it to us? What if somebody were to gift it to us? Then that doesn't seem to be part of the shvuah either.
But would they really?
Would who?
Would they really actually give it to us?
Oh, so that's a very good question. But if you look a little bit back into Jewish history, you will see that that's really what happened. There was a Melchemet HaShechur, which means there was a war of independence, but that only happened after the British Mandate, correct? So there was a vote in the UN that recognized the land of Israel, the state of Israel. And they gave it to us. And the British, what?
Is it really theirs to give?
Why not?
They didn't own it.
Why not? Who owned it? Who was sovereign over it? They had sovereignty. They had sovereignty over the land. Of course they had a right to give it to us. What? Now, number one, what's interesting is, that's the din of Kibush Melchama. Whenever you have one country that takes over another country, you own the land. That's the way the rules of war work everywhere else except for Israel, of course. When Israel wins a war and takes over the land, they have to give it back to the enemy. But every other country in the history of the world, when they have a victory in battle and they take over a certain body of land, that body of land now belongs to them. It's under their jurisdiction. That's the way it goes. Of course, that's the way it goes. So here the question becomes, should we assume, even if that Gemara in Maseches Ksubas is correct and should be taken at face value, like Rashi explains, that we promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not going to converge onto the land of Eretz Yisrael and take it over Kachoma, even if that's true, which, by the way, is not quoted in the Rambam or the Tur or the Shulchan Aruch, which makes us wonder, is this just an Agadat Gemara? Like we have many Agadat Gemaras that are not quoted in the Sifrei Halacha. Was this Gemara really meant to be a guide how we should live our lives al pi halacha? Or this is just some kind of allegory that means something else? Now, you have to give an explanation of what exactly it means, but maybe it doesn't mean what we think it means.
Does he address that?
Hmm?
Does the Sefer address that? Yeah, that it's an Agadat, and that whole category?
He takes it at face value. Now, the fact that it's not mentioned in...
No, I mean, isn't there a rule that anything Agadat we don't paskin on, and like...
Yeah, so that's the major question on all of this.
That?
What?
Does he address that?
I don't remember exactly if he addresses that. I don't remember. I saw it a while ago.
He wrote a sefer on it.
It's a whole sefer, Alagula Valatmura. Yeah. But my point is, people talk about his position as being one that's very extreme. It's not very extreme. Here's the extreme part of his position. He just reads the Gemara and says, therefore, we don't have a right to be Ola Bachoma. Now, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. There were others of his, I'm not one to say he's right or wrong, there were others of his generation of his caliber. He was a great tzaddik. There were others of his generation who said he's wrong. Why is he wrong? Because this is not being Ola Bachoma, because it was given to us. Yala Bachoma means if you go and you fight a war, and as a result of your fight, you now overtake the enemy. You overtake all those who are inhabiting the land of Eretz Yisrael, but that's not what happened. There was a Melchama afterward. The Melchama afterward was just to protect the Jewish people who were already there, rightfully so. And therefore, maybe that's not called Kibush Melchama. And therefore, that's not part of the Shvuah. Now, number one, the Avnei Nezer questions how the Shvuah even came to be. A Shvuah means you have two parties who sit down at a table and make a treaty with each other. They make a promise to one another. Who exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a promise with? Were you alive? Who in the room was there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us promise that we're not going to go back to Eretz Yisrael? So the Avnei Nezer questions, what exactly is the nature of the Shua? What are the mechanics? How did this work? And therefore, what makes me bound by the Shua? So he questions what exactly it means and how exactly to understand what really it is. But he says that that is a question that he always had. Now, where it gets controversial, where it gets very controversial and very extreme in the Satmar Rebbe's position is that he said, not only do we take the Shalosh Shavuos as Sak Halacha, as something that we have to actually accept and live and abide by, but beside for that, the Satmar Rebbe said, this would be a halacha that is also Yehoreg Val Yavar. Now, that is a very extreme position. Why is it very extreme? Because we know the Gemara tells us which one of the Taryag mitzvahs are Yehoreg Val Yavar. The Gemara tells us that it's only Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, or if there's a Shas HaShmad, if there's a Shas HaShmad and they tell you to do something to show that you're not part of the Jewish religion, then that would be something that would be Yehoreg Val Yavar as well. There are many people now who are asking, they're not comfortable wearing a yarmulke on the train in New York City. Now, I don't know, they should, they shouldn't, I have no idea. But there are people who say they're not comfortable doing that. The question is, are they able to actually take it off? Or do you say that's exactly what the Gemara says? This is a Shas HaShmad. People don't want us to wear our yarmulkes because they don't want to identify us as Jews because they want to kill all the Jews. Isn't that a Shas HaShmad? So that's a major, major question, whether we should assume that people are allowed to take off their yarmulkes at a time when those out there in the world are targeting us because we are Jews. Maybe that's exactly the time when we do need to show that we're Jews and we shouldn't be ashamed. Anyway, very interesting question, but that is really where the controversy comes. Should we assume that Yalla Bachoma is something that is accepted lahalacha, not just an Agadah to Gemara? Question number one. Question number two is, should we assume, even if it is the accepted position, should we assume that the reality of how everything unfolded with Eretz Yisrael being given to the Jewish people by the British mandate, should we assume that maybe that would make it very different than the description of Yalu B'choma that is mentioned in the Gemara? Number three, even if all the above are correct, and you say Yalu B'choma is an instruction for us, and is a mitzvah, and is the way we have to behave, even if that's true, would you say it's Yehoreg Val Yavar? Would you say that you have to die on that hill? Would you say that this is so important like all the other Gimel Averus Chamuras? Or would you say, no, this falls into the category of everything else? And therefore, if our lives are at stake and we have no other place in the world to go where we all feel safe, maybe we should say we're not going to pay attention to the Shalosh Shavuos because we have to do what's best for the Jewish community. And right now, that is not going to be relevant because we have to save Jewish lives. So that is where it gets very, very complicated. And that's where it gets controversial. But the idea itself is not something that's controversial. The idea itself is mentioned in the Gemara. And you have to really figure out very carefully what exactly was the Gemara talking about. If you're going to just totally overlook it and reject it, you have to explain why it wouldn't be relevant in today's circumstances and in the reality that we have in our generation. There's a long discussion about this in the Sefer Eim HaBanim Smecha, which is by Rav Teichtal. He actually was a very staunch anti-Zionist before the war. I think he was a Talmud of the Munkacher Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken. The Munkacher Rebbe was a very, very strong anti-Zionist, if I remember correctly. My father once showed me, you know who was a big Munkacher Chassid here in our shul? Milti Ostreicher was a big Munkacher Chassid. So he once gave me some of the Svarim of the Munkacher Rebbe. I think he gave me two volumes. What's it called? The Chaim Uvracha or the Bracha V'Shalom, something like that. It was the Svarim that he had written in Europe, I think. So in the back of one of those, it has the Tzava of the Minchas Elazar, who was the Munkacher Rebbe in Europe. And in the Minchas Elazar, he writes a whole tzava to his community. And one of the things that he writes is about how something to the effect of any woman in his community who dares to go and think of getting married to somebody who has a family who is connected to the Tzionim, who are Sonim Lidvar Hashem, and this, that, a whole thing, is going to be ostracized from the community, never allowed back in, can't come down in the shul, a whole thing. So it shows where his feelings were. The Eim HaBanim Smecha was a Talmud of the Munkacher Rebbe and shared that sentiment only until after he went through the horrors of the Holocaust and realized that the whole Hashkafa was not something he was comfortable with any longer. And he wrote the Sefer Eim HaBanim Smecha, which is all about the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. As a result, as a response to the Holocaust, he said his whole worldview had changed. His whole Hashkafa had taken a whole different route once he had gone through the experiences that he did. So the Eman Barim Specha has a whole discussion as well about how do you deal with that Gemara of Shelo Yala B'choma, if after all, the Gemara seems to say very explicitly that this is something that we're not supposed to be doing. If it's something we're not supposed to be doing, you need a very good interpretation and explanation to say why it is that everybody is ignoring a Maimer Chazal that seems very explicit as to how we should be behaving and how our outlook toward Eretz Yisrael should actually be. Okay.